Parshas Matzah. In the next sheet, the Rebbe says, next it with this week's Parsha, Matzah's Matzah. And Parshas Matzah discusses Aaron's passed away. And the interesting, by Aaron, it actually says in the Torah when he passed away. That Aleph of, Rish Chodesh of, is when Aaron passed away. Interesting, today, actually, people know, but we start today. Today was Chav Beis Tammuz. It's the Yartik of the Tur. Rav Yankiv, the Bala Turim. Tur on Shulchan Aruch, the son of the Rosh, and the Bala Turim on the Teda. His name is Rav Yankiv, Ish Tom, Yeshiv Beholdim. We call him like Yaakov. He was also a very, he read about the Tur, that the Tur was a very straight person. He never got into any machloikasin, even though in his times there was massive machloikasin in his times, because what happened was in that time, a lot of the Yidden were starting to learn Chochmas Chitzonius, philosophy. And when they learned philosophy, there's nothing wrong with that, learned philosophy, but it divided into two groups. There were groups that were learning philosophy together with Torah. The main thing was Torah, and they were Yir Shamayim and everything, and together with that, they knew philosophy, Chochmas Chitzonius, they were well versed in worldly chachmas. But there were others that took it too far, and their main focus became the chachmas v'tzeiyus, and they started drifting from the tzeiyus. So there came a lot of, some people got up and went totally against chachmas v'tzeiyus, were fighting against it, while it was too, and you want to ask, you totally didn't want to say, till 25, you can't learn any Chochmas Chitzonius. It's very interesting, in those times, they got the Rosh and the Rashba involved. This is the Rosh and the Rashba. It was a little over 700 years ago, about 700 years ago. They got them involved, and it went fire. On the other hand, there were others saying, what do you mean? How could you ask a Chochmas Chitzonius? There's so many people that are learning it and utilizing it for Torah in a good way. You can't just say it's bad. You're going against the Rambam. So it was really because people were going to extremes. In the end, the Rosh and the Rashba also were very hesitant in making it usher because they realized that people were going to extremes over here. But it was heavy, heavy machlokes in those times. It wasn't good for the Yidman. Everyone met the Sheikh Shemayim, but it ended up being a heavy machlokes. And the Tur, he came after the Rosh Festival, the Tur was there, and they wanted to get him involved, get involved in the machlokes. But the Tur never got involved in any machlokes. That's it. So they called him, his name was Yaakov, but they called him like Yaakov Avinu. It says Yaakov Ishtom, Yeshiv Eholim. The Tur was someone that. That was one of the big milestones he said, was that he never got into any machlokes. Today's his yahrzeit. But it's just the Rebbe in the Sikha speaks that Aaron HaKohen's yahrzeit is Rish Chodesh Av. And the connection between Aaron HaKohen's yahrzeit and the 3 weeks, the double connection, the while every mitzvah tzaddikim, he said, is compared to the Churban Beis Hamikdash. So the Churban Beis Hamikdash and every yahrzeit of a tzaddik is connected. Especially Aaron, because Aaron is Oyev Sholem, related Sholem. So through Avas Yisrael, the end of Aaron, through that we're going to rebuild the Beis Hamikdash. So that Sichat Rebbe goes into the connection of a tzaddik's passing with the Churban Beis Hamikdash. The Rebbe says, just like by a tzaddik's passing, we have two opposites. On one hand, we're sad that we're missing the tzaddik. But on the other hand, we're focusing on the positive. It says in the Gemara, Ma Zareh B'chayim Afu B'chayim. But just like the children of tzaddik are alive, children is tamidim, so too he's alive. So in a certain sense, he can have the tzaddik now also. So too, even though we don't have the Beis Hamikdash, we have to focus on the positive, that soon the Geula is going to come, and through learning in Yom of the Beis Hamikdash, in a certain sense, we have already the Binyan Beis Hamikdash, in a certain sense. That's what the Rebbe wrote in that sense. Based on the Medrash, that when you learn about the Beis Hamikdash, you have in a certain sense the Beis Hamikdash. But it's a Medrash Gevor, I want to share with you, what for me was a Medrash Gevor. Where in that Sikha, Derech Agav, the Rebbe explains what is the meaning when a tzaddik passes away, Ma Zari Bachayim Afu Bachayim. What does it mean that tzaddik is alive? The Gemara says, just like the children are alive, he's alive. What does that mean? So the Rebbe teaches in the Sikha, based on what Dr. Rebbe writes in Tanya, that the life of a tzaddik is Avas Hashem, Yiras Hashem, and Amunas Hashem. When the children or the talmidim of a tzaddik are going in the way of the tzaddik, so the tzaddik's life gets carried on where? In his coming. So Mazari Bachayim, when the children are alive, when we're going in the ways of the Rebbe, Ubachayim, the Rebbe is alive. Where is the Rebbe alive? In his chassidus, that's where he's alive. Because the chassid is living a life, which is the Rebbe's life. Because the Rebbe's life was connected to Hashem, Amudas Hashem, Yidas Hashem, Havas Hashem. And when the chassid is going in the same ways, so here is the tzaddik is living in his chassidus. So Ma Zari Bachayim, Aku Bachayim, where is the tzaddik alive? It's the Psichat Rebbe. You can look it up. I'm not saying my own thing. For me, it's like, wow. And because I heard of all, I don't know what the brain, this is all he was saying. We don't have to say the Rebbe, Yechi, Yechi, the Rebbe. If we say Yechi, we should become alive. The Rebbe is alive. The question is, where are we? We have to become alive. No, we're trying to get up in the morning, pushing ourselves out of bed. We have to get alive. We have to become alive. We have to say Yechi. We have to become alive. When I went to Sikh of the Rebbe, I saw it was the same thing. It wasn't two separate things. When we're alive, then the Rebbe is alive. Because the Rebbe is alive in us. You want to say the Rebbe left in us. Just the Derech Agav in the Sikh. But Akoponim, that's what the Rebbe says in that Sikh is that on one hand, we're remembering the Chur Beis HaMikdash. On the other hand, we can have the Beis HaMikdash by learning about the Beis HaMikdash. Just like when a tzaddik passes away, on one hand we're missing the tzaddik, on the other hand we have the tzaddik by going in his ways. The tzaddik is in us. He's living in us. But then I went to Sikh in the Rebbe in Parshas Matis Masa in Tovshim Memches, where the Rebbe said a very powerful word. The Rebbe says in Tovshim Memches, the Rebbe says, in everything there's always the negative and the positive. And the question is, what are we focusing on? The negative or the positive? When we're in Golos, there is Golos, all the Yiddish of Golos. The Kol Yom, every day is worse and worse. But then there's the positive. The positive is the Geula. The question is, why do we want the Geula? Do we want the Geula because Golos is so bad and we want to get out of the dump? Or do we want the Geula because Geula is so good? Do we want the Geula because of the positive? Or do we want the Geula because we want to get out of the negative? The Rebbe says, the main shuka, the main focus that should be about the geula, when a yid wants the geula, chakli b'chol yin shiobi, the main focus should be, and what will bring the geula is not that we want to get out of the negative. It's also true. But the main focus should be because of the positive. That means we can't get to it without learning about it. The Rebbe says that's why in 3 weeks he puts the focus on learning the Yom of the Geula and the Beis HaMikdash, because the focus in the 3 weeks, yes, of course we have to learn the halachas that the Rebbe says of the 3 weeks, and we have to call on Misabel, whoever is Misabel on the Churban, to see the Necham of the Churban. But together with that, the main focus should be not on we want to get out of the negative. All this is so bad, we want to get out of it. That's not supposed to be the main focus. Sometimes you say, you know, things are so bad, so now we really want Mashiach. Okay? But that shouldn't be the main focus of our own Mashiach, because Golos is so bad. Even if Golos would be terrific, we should want Mashiach, because Mashiach is even better. That should be the main focus. So to get to that, we have to learn about Mashiach, learn about the Geula, learn about the Beis HaMikdash. The Rebbe said that's why he puts the emphasis in learning about the Beis HaMikdash, because our focus of the Geula should be on the positive. When you read the Rebbe's Tanya, you see how the Rebbe was always focusing. We spoke about it already. But it's something not enough. We don't have emphasis in our own lives enough to focus on the positive. Because in the Churban Beis HaMikdash, what does the Rebbe see? The Rebbe doesn't see the Yirid of Golos, the Rebbe sees the greatness of the Geula. Like Rav Yechi. And that's we're a citizen of the Rebbe. Mahu b'chayim, mazare b'chayim, hu b'chayim. We have to go in the ways of the Rebbe. Is by us seeing in ourselves and in the people around us, seeing the positive, always seeing the positive. That is the Rebbe's life. That's the way the Rebbe lives. So we learn something about the being a Beis HaMikdash, and in the Sechta Midos, the third perek starts to discuss the Mizbeach Achim, the outer Mizbeach. Very interesting, the third Beis HaMikdash, the Mizbeach HaChitzen, this outer Mizbeach, a little bit of a picture, how good your eyesight is. The Mizbeach, we all know the Mizbeach. But really, in general, this Be'ah looks very simple, but really it was made up in three different, we could divide it in three, actually, parts in this Be'ah. The first part is called the Yesoid, the foundation, the bottom of the Mizbeah, which was 32 Amis by 32 Amis in the second Beis HaMikdash and in the third Beis HaMikdash. But the Rambam writes that the height of the Mizbeah, we know the word Mizbeah was in the Mishkan, then it was in the first Beis HaMikdash, the second Beis HaMikdash, and the third Beis HaMikdash. So whenever you discuss the Mizbeah HaChitzin, your question is going to be the Mishkan, by Yisrishin, by Keni, by Yishlish. So the Rambam writes, the Rambam discusses the second Beis HaMikdash and the third Beis HaMikdash. But the Rambam tells us the height was the same in all, like everywhere. The height of the Mizbeach HaChitzin was 10 Amis. 10 Amis tall, about 15 feet. That was the height of the Mizbeach HaChitzin. Now the width and the length was different. In the first Beis HaMikdash it was only 28 Amis by 28 Amis. But in the second Beis HaMikdash and the third Beis HaMikdash, the Yesoi, the bottom, was 32 Amis by 32 Amis. Now the Mizbeach had different parts to it. About an hour, the bottom part was the widest and longest. It was 32 Amis by 32 Amis, was the Mizbeach itself. It was high in Amma, and it was wide and long, 32 Amis. On top of it was called the Soivet. It was 5 Amis tall, but it went in an amma on each direction. So instead of being 32 by 32, it was only 30 by 30. It was missing an amma on each direction. So it makes 30 and 30. Minus 2 from one side to one side, minus 2 one side to one side. It went up 5 amis, and the top of it was called the soivet. It surrounded the whole mizbeach. On top of it was another piece that was 3 amis tall, and it was 28 by 28. It's called Mokim HaMarocho, the place where they actually put the piles of wood on top of it. So when you look in the picture, there is the bottom part, that's the Yesoid. The second part, which is called the Seyvid, and the third part is called the Marocho. The bottom part was the widest, but only high in Amma. The second part was high 5 Amma. But it was minus on each direction an amma. And the third part also went in an amma. It was only 28 by 28, but it was high 3 ammas. Now, the 10th amma was the kronis. On the corners, there was 4 corners. Each one was wide and tall by each direction an amma. It's called mokim hakronis. So now, in after the mokim hakronis, there was another amma called mokim hilul hakeyanim, where the kreyanim actually walked, which was another amma. So when we had the kronis on 4 sides, it minus it from 28 to 26. We had another amma where the kreyanim walked, now it became 24. So the actual place where they put the wood and the different piles of wood and fires was Mokim HaMarocho, was only 24 amas by 24 amas. Now how do you build this Mizbeah? How do you build it in such a manner? So what they did is they had, the Braisa tells us that they had a mold. They first put a mold of 4 pieces of wood, and inside they put the stones that they wanted to put, with they put inside 3 types of it's like cement to connect the different pieces of stone together. They put in lime, they put in, melted lead. What's it called?
Melted lead.
And they put in glazed lead. And they put in also tar. And they did that, and they made a amma tall, and 32 amis was a mold of 32 amis. Now, on top of it, they put another mold, a more narrow mold, and they filled up that mold. And it connected to the bottom. And then they put on top of it a third mold, and that's the way they made the Mizbeah. The way it appears to me, you can tell me next week if I'm right or wrong, the way it appeared to me is they actually made the Mizbeah in 3 stages. They first made the bottom hardened, that they made the second one and it connected to the bottom, and then they made a third. Is that right? Or did they make it all in one shot? Because out of that, I always thought it was one shot. And today I was learning the Braise in the Sefer Zvachim, which is actually a Braise. You can have a look yourself. When you go home, you can have a look yourself. And this is the way it looked to me from the Braise.
It's pretty hard to do. If you put the mold, it's very hard to do it.
One shot. It needs to dry up.
So let's see what
the Gemara
says.
Yeah, it says, Nun Dalad on the Dalad. So come home, you take it out. How did they build this bech? They brought this mold of 32 amas by 32 amas and high in amas, and they put the stones inside, and that's the yisoy. Then they would bring another malbin. It looks like after they put everything inside, then they would bring another malbin, which was 30 amas by 30 amas and high 5 amas, and they bring all the stones. Then it says v'chayzer, and then they would bring a third malbin. That they did it in three shots. So it was like three pieces that connected to each other, but it was actually done in three shots.
Yeah.
It actually says they would bring umeshivei alze and they would put it on it, umemalik, and they would fill it up. I'm guessing after it dries, but it doesn't say food. So I'll leave it to the research.
Clear, no?
Let me know.
Clear.
It looks like afterwards.
It's the pshat name.
This is before you get to the ramp. On the side there was a ramp. That was another thing. This is the mizbeach itself, and then there was a ramp on the side.
The chayra de bodaf sadat melabnin b'tzitz. Melabnin b'tzitz. The Rambam said that every year it was repainted.
Right.
The question is, did they repaint it also after the construction? That we is also a stage.
The
Rambam said that every year it was repainted the mizbeach.
Yeah, likewise.
Right, and you also the stage after finishing the malbim to make it also nice. Okay, also
right. Very interesting is that the Yisoid, the Mishnah tells us, and the Gemara discusses it here in Zvachim Barichus, that the Yisoid was not complete in all directions. The Yisoid, when you walked into the Beis Hamikdash, you came, this was Mizrach. When you walked in, this was Sofen, Dorim, and Maidev. So the Yisoid, the bottom Amal, we said, that was sticking out, an Amma, was complete in the Maidiv, complete in the Tzofin, but here it only went in an Amma, and here it only came in an Amma. It was missing, there's a picture here, she says, it's hard for everyone to see, but this is the picture of the Yisoid, that everyone's able to see. It's a Rashi. That it was actually missing, the Yisoid was missing, therefore when they had to sprinkle the blood, they did it over here and over here. It went on, but over here there wasn't any yisoid. There was no yisoid on the bottom. Why was there no yisoid? Why was it missing a yisoid? So it says over here in the Gemara. The Gemara says, "My time." The Gemara asks, "Why was it missing a yisoid?" And the Gemara says, "Because the mizbeach had to be in the chelik of Binyamin." It says in the pasuk, "Binyamin ze'ev yitreif, ba'beikir yechal ad v'lo'erev yechalik sholom." It's a pasuk, and in the brachas of Binyamin. And the Targum says that this pasuk Yaakov Avinu was giving the brachas in Parshas Vayechi was actually saying nevuah in this pasuk how in Binyamin's chelik will be the mizbeach. It's referring to the mizbeach eating all the different korbanos. So the mizbeach had to be in the chelik of Binyamin. The problem is when you walked into the Beis Hamikdash, this was Yehuda's chelik. Binyamin's chelik only began by the mizbeach. However, Binyamin's chelik, when you're walking into the Beis Hamikdash over here, it's like you see, it says in this picture, let's see it. It says over here, Yehuda. This whole strip belonged to Yehuda. This belonged to Binyamin. So when you walked in, this all was Yehuda's, and then Yehuda owned this also. This was Binyamin's, from here on.
So
being that the whole Mizbeach had to be in the Chelek of Binyamin, so Binyamin couldn't have a complete Mizbeach. because part of it would have to be Yehuda's Chelet, and the whole Mizbeach had to be by the Yom. So the Gemara says over here, Amei de Gezach, the Gemara says that there was a part of Yehuda when it was also over here, and therefore Binyamin didn't have a complete Mizbeach. Bahoya Binyamin had Sadik Mitzayir Oleho. Binyamin was painful. Binyamin was painful, then why don't I not have a complete Mizbeach? And the Gemara Taishis that it says, Chayfif Ol of Kol Hayoim, in the Zay Sabrocha, Uvein Ksev of Shochim, the Gemara Taishis is very interesting. Chayfif Ol of Kol Hayoim, the Gemara Taishis, Chayfif, it literally means the Ebishter is dwelling there, hovering there. But the Gemara Taishis that it says, Chayfif could also come from the Lashon to rub, Nazir Chayfif. When a person is worried, or very thinking a lot, he's rubbing, scratching. So Binyamin was scratching his head. What am I going to do? I don't have a complete mizbeach. The Eibusher says in the schus that you were painful, that you did not have a complete mizbeach. You're going to get a host. You're going to be a host for the Eibusher. And the way Rashi teaches is that you're going to have the Oren in your head. It means it wasn't designated yet where the Oren was going to be. The Oren went to Binyamin in the schus that Binyamin was mitzdar that he didn't have a complete mizbeach. So Meir de Gezach, a person will say he's Binyamin was mitzdar that he didn't have a complete mizbeach for Hashem. Okay, well, you have to, who needs it? But in the schus of that star, he was zeicher to get the Oren.
What means he didn't have a complete mizbeach? Missing the yisod. What means he didn't have a complete mizbeach?
That the yisod was missing in those two sides.
On Yehuda's side.
It was trapped in them. So the Mizrach wasn't complete.
The Mefarshim explains, it's interesting what the Mefarshim says, the Mizrach wasn't complete. The Mefarshim say that Binyamin didn't want, when you say he was Bitzar, what did he want? Did he want that part of Yehuda should belong to him? He wanted to take over Yehuda? That's not a side that the Eibishter would like, that you're jealous and you want to take away from someone else. You're the give me part of your chelik so I can have a complete mizbeach. The Eibush is not going to reward him for that. Binyamin was bitzar. Binyamin was doubting Hashem. If Hashem could just move over the mizbeach a little bit, that he'll be able to have the whole mizbeach in his chelik. It's not that he wanted to take away from Yehuda, but he wanted to have the whole mizbeach in his chelik, not taken away from Yehuda. Such a tzar, the Eibush says, is a good tzar, and that tzar, the Eibush rewarded Binyamin. That he got the Odin.
That was the pshat. Why couldn't Hashem Taka move it over?
Yeah,
one Alma will go. Who's not there? I think the other will.
Is it by the Odin? The Odin was on top of the Evan.
Then, the Hebrew is up, but the question is, what's pshat if the Zeich wasn't whole? Why wasn't the Bayer whole?
It was whole.
The Kalim had to be whole. What pshat
in the Zeich? In Hashem Shalom. In a Kisei Shalom.
It was enough to hold it.
There must be a reason besides that why there wasn't a Yisoid in that area.
Yeah.
But there must be something more to it.
You put the strong rod to get the Yisoid.
The Gemara asks, how did they make the mold? How did they make it that if the mold was 32 Amis by 32 Amis, how did they make it that it should go in over here? If the mold was 32 Amis by 32 Amis, the mold didn't go in. So how did it go in? And you can't say you had a whole thing and then you cut it out, because you weren't allowed to cut the stones of the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach had to
put
the
wood over there.
So the Gemara says they put actually in a piece of wood inside. They put it in. And it's very interesting. It actually says when it was starting to dry, they took it out. They took that little piece of wood out. So whoever builds over here, you have over here how they made the Mizbeach, you have the little lesson on how to build. They had the mold, and then they wanted to make an indent, they just put something in there, a piece of wood, and they slipped it out. But yes.